told you anything, don't admit.
Yeah, whatever you say.
Fake it, right?
Yeah. Just fake it.
That's right.
Roll with it. Pretend this is how it always is supposed to work, and it's all fine. Okay.
You recorded, Ron?
Yes, sir.
We are rolling.
All right, so we will call the CAG meeting of Wednesday, February 20th, to order. We don't have an official agenda, but we'll use the agenda from last time. So first order of business is the approval of the minutes.
And we have them right here.
We have them in front of us.
And I'm just fine with them.
Yeah, I am too.
I didn't have any particular. I mean, they're very loose.
Yes.
These days, because our meetings are not very structured.
They're not.
Yeah,
so it's not your fault. But no.
Yeah.
Thank you for being
here. No, you're probably the most structured thing about this whole thing, which is pathetic because you're not even, wasn't even voted in to be part of the board. So.
Somebody's got to keep the structure.
Yeah.
It's not Nathan. Who?
I agree. I agree.
Chuck tries occasionally.
Yes. So, all right. The minutes are approved by consensus.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's do a little bit of old business. And what can you update
sure.
us on?
Sure. So Katie Holstein and Jason Norris are flying in on Tuesday the 26th. They're going to arrive via Kenmore at 9:35 in the morning. I'm going to pick them up. Got confirmation of them coming and so forth, I really spread the word around so that if people do want to talk with them, they certainly can. But Jason, because I was actually working through Jason because Katie's so busy, their one and only focus really for the day is the Citizens Advisory Board.
Is it Katie and Jason that
both are coming?
Both are coming. Okay.
Both are coming.
Good.
And so what I've tentatively laid out is that if they wanted to meet with folks or do whatever, they can do that from like 9:35 till say noon. Then I was going to try to maybe at Haley's or something, get a table if people wanted to talk to them while they're eating and so forth to do that. Then I've secured the conference area at the fire department for our meeting, because I think that Jay Heffern's going to come over, Scott Williams is going to come, maybe Dr. Sullivan's going to come.
Yeah, I would expect you want to.
Yeah. And I was also going to, and maybe Nathan can help to follow up, but at least make the invitation to Olivia Haslett, since she's the MPDD, to if she wants to be to the meeting. Norman's going to be there. Maybe one of the board members of fire is going to be there.
I was going to ask if both fire and hospital boards have been invited and are aware of it.
They're aware of it and so forth. And Carl,
yes,
the
he should definitely be there. Interim chief. Yeah, I think that would be pretty important.
I spoke with him today.
Good.
So that's going to be from 1 to 3:30. They have a 4:05 flight out. And so
wait, 1 to 3:30, not 1:30?
1 to 3:30, yeah.
So we're starting at 1?
We're starting at 1 o'clock. But I thought until they probably do introductions, get lunch and then do introductions, it's going to probably be. And I was really trying to give George, I wanted to look and see when the ferry's coming back, and I didn't do that.
Well, if I have to blow the whole day off,
okay.
I just need to know
I wanted to make it as late as possible in the afternoon to start, but yet to give a couple hours, because I think that if there's a large group, it could be a lot of questions. And
sure.
I don't even know what her material is going to be.
But this is at the big room at the fire hall.
It's the big room at the fire hall.
Let's see, are you guys?
And I've already, they're aware of it. It's already booked. So.
Will there be a public announcement for that? Is it open to the public?
I mean, sure, it's a CAG meeting.
Yeah.
And so, not any different than any of the other CAG meetings, to be honest with you.
Well, if you have a quorum of commissioners from either fire or hospital,
they have to announce.
That's their issue.
So, I mean, they need to poll the membership, see if they think they're going to get a quorum from hospital.
Again,
make a public announcement.
What if we're just in the audience?
Well, if you're just in the audience, but if it's discussing stuff like EMS.
We're just audience members, I believe.
But truly, this is all about the CAG, and so leave it with the same structure and the same, I feel like, the same process that we do with every one of our CAG meetings.
Sort of an interview-ish, very loosely structured.
Exactly right.
Do we have anything we're providing beforehand in the way of, you know, what to expect in the way of questions or things like that? Or Katie's just going to come and wing it and it's all good?
Well, Katie and I have spoken about where the Department of Health stands, what their boundaries are and are not in EMS, and kind of what their expectations are of the structure of EMS and the structure of how they work through an MPD and what all of that
means. Okay, yeah, a little bit of that.
That's really what I have shared with her as an expectation of what the meeting's going to be, and what I'll try to do is at least follow up with Jason Monday morning to ensure, and then if they do have any questions or if we have any input that we want to get back to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you guys have anything specific that you would like me to share with her, I called Chuck. I forgot he wasn't actually going to be here, and so I happened to call him this morning just to make certain that he was all up to speed and on target and so forth, and his little niece was in the background screaming.
But he'll be here too?
But he's going to be here. He flies back Monday,
He'll
be here Tuesday.
I was going to say,
well,
I don't remember when he gets back, but yeah, it's Tuesday. This is bad.
Yeah, he's going.
But he is connected, so I think it'd be important that, and I can reach out to him to make sure we have an agenda for next Tuesday, Nathan can post that.
Yeah. We need to get an agenda. Yes.
Okay, so if you want to do that, he is due back Monday, so he will be in Sacramento all week.
Okay,
right.
Weekend.
Yeah, and I'll print agendas and everything, bring them like I would for a regular meeting, board meeting, or any kind of meeting.
And you know what I could do too is I'll call Jason tomorrow and get his and Katie's titles and those kinds of things for the agenda.
Yes.
And so forth.
Thank you.
I'll do that. And I'll see if they have any questions as well as they want to pose.
Perfect. Are you going to do public comment and everything like we usually do?
Yeah, I mean, I think the value of having any of these folks is to exercise the maximum amount of productivity and the maximum amount of input. So, absolutely, I'd be...
Okay.
I really think it's going to be hard for the CAG to have a meeting on the subject of EMS if a quorum of the hospital district and or a quorum of the fire district commissioners are there and they don't announce that as a public meeting.
I'm going to do some research.
I don't think they can just say, oh, I was only in the audience while we talked about this topic that is ours, that our they charter were, that, to do from
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
You know, so that doesn't sound like we can say that's not talking about their business.
A similar situation came up where the county commissioners were involved in a critical areas ordinance group, which was work related to their county council work, and they got sued by, well, who sued them doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter who sued them.
But they actually prevailed in that case.
They won that one?
And they were not found in violation of the OPMA, and the basis was, well, it wasn't an official county organization, and although related to their county work, their presence didn't violate the OPMA. Now, this situation is a little different because this advisory group is more formal than that group was. This advisory group receives funding from the districts,
it was
formally established by the districts.
Yeah. Established by resolution and a few other things.
So my knee-jerk reaction is probably it would be an OPMA violation, but it would be pretty easy to post notice.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The downside is you really want to get sued and have to fight it, or do you just want to post it?
So
if it was me.
Yeah, and we only need 24 hours.
Yeah.
But you lose control of the meeting if we go that way, because then the chairs would be setting the agenda, not you.
Yeah, I would say this is our meeting, not either the hospital district or fire, and so they should not be holding a meeting, and so hospital needs are limited to two commissioners and fire to one.
That would certainly make it easier. It would eliminate the issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I will. And the other thing you can do is you can get an opinion from a Randy or somebody about whether or not this constitutes OPMA.
Yeah, because he's not busy enough right now.
Do you know we could come as private citizens and just sit there with our mouths shut?
Unfortunately, as an elected official, you kind of lose some of that when it's regarding, as George said, has work related to the office that you're holding. So
the committee formed by your board is having a meeting, and you go to it and claim you're not there because of your official capacity.
This is a PhD meeting as well as a fire district meeting. You guys operate underneath their authority. So what I'll do is I will check with my board, and I will let what I'll do is tell Pam to check with the PhD board, and I will talk to Chief Collins to check with his board and have them determine who they're going to send. So I don't know any way around that, because you guys are funded by the PhD and the district, the fire district. So
I mean, the one thing you can argue is that the commissioners aren't there to make a decision or act in any way on. They're just there to listen, but I'm not entirely sure that that's enough to get them around the OPMA.
And that was one of the reasons why, you know, the county council didn't get in trouble, is because that committee didn't have the authority to act, and this committee does not have the authority to act.
And that's the only argument you can make, really.
But you do get hung up because there's these multiple criteria to determine whether OPMA applies. And in this instance, the one criteria where you don't have the authority to act, that would indicate not requiring the OPMA. But then these other criteria where you are a formal fire district and PhD committee, you're going to be required to follow OPMA.
So, Nathan, I would say two things. One, if either the districts want to go through and get a legal opinion where they can attend and not be considered an open public meeting, and if they get a legal opinion saying that, yes, they can attend as private citizens and just sit there and listen, then that's fine. But if they have to schedule and hold it as a regular meeting of their board, that's not the intent of this meeting.
And I think that's
so
the biggest thing.
We would not want that to occur.
Okay. I will take care of that.
This is a CAG meeting.
This is a CAG meeting.
It was requested by CAG to get good appreciation of the Department of Health's view of what, you know, we're doing, and to give us kind of guidance and thoughts as to how it integrates itself into EMS. And so I think that those boards need to make their own decisions about how they do it, but this isn't being run.
And they may want a legal opinion.
They might. But
they can get their own legal opinion.
Yeah, right.
They'll contact the MRSC or whatever else, but you guys proceed and do your thing, and I'll take care of that problem.
Yep.
So that's the schedule, and that's the idea. And I'll touch base. I'll get the information for you so that you can notice it just like you do any of the CAG's meetings.
Will do.
I also noticed, too, that I had reported last week or last time. So Dr. Sullivan, I've again approached him to say that, you know, whatever you want to share with the CAG about how you believe the medicine needs to integrate and where you want to see yourself or the MPD in this process, you need to have that, you know, going into the first week of March. And so I just shared that again with him today, that it's important that is. So he says that, you know, he will have that, whatever it is. And I think that's it.
So are you guys planning to meet with Dr. Sullivan again?
No.
No, okay.
No, I think it's just, well, my intent, I don't want to speak for everybody, but my intent was to ensure that the medical program director and medicine, as we outline it, my intent is that we have good guidance that says how should an organization that administrates EMS be integrated with the MPD and really the state and so forth. And so getting his comments was and that we can do with his comments what we want. But at least having it in writing and metrics, because we've talked about metrics. He's actually, that's a lot of what it's going to be, is metrics about what should be measurable for him to understand, for that position to understand how the medicine is being delivered.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you guys planning to meet next week, Mark? You mentioned that briefly, like outside of this meeting, the meeting with Katie. Are you also planning to meet separately?
Well, at one point we had talked about accelerating our schedule so that we can complete the plan and have it presentable by March 31st, as we have indicated to both boards during the last joint session that we would do that. And so at one point we did talk about accelerating and meeting again. I don't know if the group thinks we need to do that. I know that Rick is working on the budgets and has some more stuff before he is able to present a final version for us to review.
And
So there's a lot of work to do between now and the end of March. And so at one point we talked about accelerating a meeting.
When I spoke with Chuck this morning, I asked him specifically about that, whether, and he was, he said, you know, whatever we come away with today, if it's let's meet next Wednesday, he'll be there next Wednesday. So at least from his perspective, he was, you know, kind of deferring it to us if we chatted about it, and said, I have not had an opportunity, I'll be honest with you, with this Kaiser project that is going on. And with the meeting today, I've really just been in with that. I do actually have the budget drafted out, but I'm actually trying to search for a little bit of input from maybe some of the participants to ensure that the path that I'm going down is a good path. And so I actually have some meetings set before next Wednesday to do that. So I'm hoping by Wednesday that I will have gotten enough input for you guys to start reviewing that.
Essentially, we have five, after tonight, we have five Wednesdays left before we will be presenting the plan. So a recommendation and plan to the respective boards. It's been a month since Dan's been able to join us, essentially. And so, in my opinion, it'd be good to meet next week. I mean, hopefully we can make a decision tonight. I know there was a proposal to potentially have Karin help us with some of the writing and making sure it's all in the same tense and flows and so on and so forth. And we have the budget to look at. We have to incorporate any comments we're going to see from Katie on Tuesday. And so, and any of the metrics and things we're going to get from Dr. Sullivan. My thought is we should meet, but it only should be meeting if we actually have the time to sit down and get the stuff done. I mean, if you're not going to have the budget stuff done, and we don't have anything from Dr. Sullivan, and we don't have time to look behind the plan, look at the comments, and so on and so forth, then there'd be no reason to meet.
I would agree.
But if we can have some of that stuff available, then by all means, I think it would be appropriate. And so kind of puts it back into your hands regarding the budget piece.
So, I mean, Kaiser's at least now this piece is back or is a little bit behind, and so this is my main thrust for this next week. So I hope to, based on being able to meet with a few of the folks that I want to meet with, and so Tuesday is going to suck the whole day for me. Mm-hmm. But I'm still hoping that by Wednesday. But I could certainly let us all know by Tuesday how that's going.
Okay. That'd be the other thing. I'll talk to Chuck about that. George, your preference?
Well, if I'm going to blow off Tuesday, which it looks like I'm going to have to, because it doesn't make sense to go over to the mainland for 2 hours or something and then have to come back to meet this meeting, I probably just won't go to the mainland on Tuesday. Coming back early on Wednesday, and I was just looking to see, I think I might have to come back early on Friday also. It might be a little bit of a stretch for me to get back here, but I can get back here late for this meeting, too.
We could meet twice on Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, it depends, though. Are we going to be ready for anything other than the stuff that's on the docket for Tuesday? I think that's going to be enough all by itself, probably, at least for Rick. Yeah. I don't really expect this. There's going to be a lot of opportunity for him to get that piece done. I mean, we've been working on the chapters that I'm involved with anyway. On the
legal you chapters. Have the most detailed and the most clear vision, I think, right now, chapter that's going
on. I mean,
if you've
read the levies and the elections pieces, you see where we are. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think we're in bad shape, but we have a lot of cleanup to do.
Right.
But we're getting there. So I'm not feeling bad about where we are, and I
is
give
Dan
Nathan
gonna,
most of the credit for this.
Is Dan going to be...
you've done a lot.
I've worked on it.
They look good.
I'm assuming, I'm making a big assumption. I've not talked with Dan, but we knew he was going to be gone for these last three weeks or 4 weeks.
Yeah,
then he said he's going to be back in town. So I would anticipate he would be here next week.
He'll be here next week.
Yes. Maybe then, why don't we hold the dates? And even if George has to come back in late.
I mean, if I get here at 7:20 instead of at 6:30, I don't think it'll be a deal break.
No, I don't think so either.
You can go ahead with the meeting and I just show up late.
Tuesday.
That's how it is.
We could.
You know, based on where we all stand when we come away Tuesday afternoon, if we have anything. And I might even encourage Dr. Sullivan, if he even has elements of it,
yes,
to give us what, you know, he could so that we can start to review it. And if it came in a chunk or two, as opposed to just all at one time,
or,
might even be easier for us.
Or we could just cram and just plan on the next 4 Wednesdays after that.
Well, I've kind of been holding Wednesdays just in case.
I am.
Because I kind of thought that was
right.
I'm Wednesday until this thing's done.
But we also don't have a clear process defined for what we'd be doing.
We don't.
In meetings versus what we should be doing
outside
of the meetings. Because I think we should be doing all this writing and stuff outside of the meetings. And, you know, we only need to be here to make a decision that was brought up by the process and needs to be resolved so that we can make a determination of what's going into the report. But, you know, it shouldn't be to write the report.
It is potentially a good time to go through it together, though, if you guys want to read through sections that are sensitive.
Sure.
That's what I would view it as, particularly around the actual recommendation language, around the value statements, around any metrics we're going to recommend. I think honestly the levy piece and some of those pieces, the law is what it is, and it's pretty straightforward.
But what we're recommending is...
I understand that.
The chapter summaries at the top of each chapter are worth looking at, because they're the ones that lay out the actual recommendations. And the report as it's currently constituted is basically organized around the first chapter being, you know, a summary recommendation that you know, you could read that and get an idea of what the CAG is recommending. And then each chapter covers more detail, but each chapter also has a top-level summary. So, you know, you can just read the first chapter, or you can read the first chapter and then all the chapter summaries, or you could read all of the detail to the bitter end, you know, and get everything that we've done. And so that allows us to accommodate readers of varying interest levels. But those top level summaries are really worth looking at together. And when I write on your behalf, I'm writing what you guys have agreed in meetings.
Yes.
I'm not writing what I think.
And you try to make it clear if there's a question that still has to be resolved, that this needs to be resolved.
This needs to be
and
resolved.
I appreciate your highlighting those so that we can see those sometimes more clearly than we might have otherwise.
So, but we're making good progress. And but that one major first chapter isn't very developed yet.
Yeah.
But I do think that first chapter benefits from the work on the later chapters.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, you read through the summaries of the levy chapter, the summary of the elections chapter, and that gets you a lot of mileage.
Mm-hmm.
And George has done a really good job of going over those for me and making sure that it does represent what the CAG thinks.
I threw a couple of comments in the elections thing.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw those.
Did.
Okay. Yeah, there's stuff happening. It's a long way from done. So
the question becomes is, do we want to print out those chapter summaries and the sparse chapter one on next Wednesday and start going through them and having a group discussion and reach consensus on that at this forum?
at some point we're going to have to do that.
I'm not sure yet we have enough of a process figured out, and I think it may be the right time to mention Karen, because that's potentially, she's offered to be part of the process, and we haven't actually dealt with that yet. So I think we probably need to, and then see where that leads, because it may be that, you know, we have something more fully developed next month, next week, when we can talk about the process and how we're engaged in it and review those things that we've written so far and maybe take some input. So anyway, I think we should talk about how we can use Karen in this process.
Yeah, so maybe why don't you give us your thoughts?
It sounds as though there is a role in a week or two for someone named...
Someone named Karen.
Yeah, to read with a fresh eye what's been done,
yeah,
and to look at the organization. I'm not going to be critical of the writing, except if the writing styles are vastly different, then I would say this is not good. But I see my job as looking for continuity, looking for stylistic simplicity, looking for any kind of, hey, this doesn't work with this, you've said this over here, that over here. A substantive reading without the intention of rewriting. I'm not getting into the writing of this thing. You've got knowledge yourselves to do that, and you know, you're beginning to know what you want to say. It's going to be more than a copy edit, but not a substantive. It's not going to be a rewrite.
So where do you see yourself being inserted then? Because we have bits and pieces. We don't have the makings of the full. I mean, we have the outline of the full document, but not all the verbiage.
I see myself coming in when half to two-thirds of the writing is done, so that I can get hold of the thing as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I can't quite tell from what's been said here tonight.
Maybe a quarter.
I'm sure we're not at...
There's no point my coming in at this point.
There's some of the more detailed, difficult chapters, but still only maybe a quarter of the way.
Well, the only value I could see at this point might be more structural, organizational.
Yeah, okay.
And I think you could look at the outline, you could look at what's been written and say, okay, I can see how this is going to work. Or you're missing a chapter that should say this, or something like that.
Yeah.
Because you would have that fresh eyes that sort of sees what we thought we were doing and maybe have a comment about that. You don't, at this point, need to spend a lot of time going through the chapters that are written necessarily.
I would be happy to do that.
I think it's again, a good idea for you to take a look at the organization of the document as much as just verbiage within this chapter, because that could help us get straightened out on some things before we go all the way down the road finishing the writing, and then you have a comment that, you know, you're wasting a lot of time on that chapter. I don't think you need it, or something. Because it would help us that way.
I think what we're saying here is that there has to be a minimal amount of work for me to look at.
Yes.
But you're getting close to that.
Well, we're very close to that in that we think we know what the organization looks like, and about three of the chapters are actually written pretty much.
Yeah.
So why don't I just look at that stuff?
So I think you should look at that as an opener, and then, as I say, if you have organizational and some kind of structural comment about it, you should make that reference to various stuff that it does exist.
Okay. Happy to do it.
Yeah. My viewpoint is, Karen, I mean, again, this is, it's five individuals, but this is a collective brain, trust that is trying to get to a good finish. And
that good finish is not five individuals.
That's my point. It's not five individuals. And, you know, it's a lot of people it's a lot of people's lives, and it affects a tremendous amount. I just think step in now. And you can always say, hey, I just don't have enough to deal with.
Yeah. My fear is that actually if we brought you in too late, it might be difficult for us to go back and
retrace steps that we've already gone down. And if you look at it now, you can sort of say, I see the structure that you've got, and it looks like it's going to work. Maybe you should do this or that. But, and look at a couple of the chapters that do exist and say, you know, here's how I would change your writing style or something, too, if you have any comment on that. So I think it would be good to have a set of eyes on it.
And since they're mostly all Georges and Nathans, if you say they look fabulous, then I'm going to be upset because I probably won't get to that.
It's not fabulous yet, but we're getting there.
So working with Nathan's going to forward material to you?
He can grant you by sharing the folder access to the documents that are in the Google Doc world.
I will do that, absolutely. And I think we can benefit a lot from what you have to say.
But
I do think we should keep it within the circle.
Oh, absolutely.
That's clear, I think. Yeah. It's just Karen absolutely. Who needs to see this.
Right.
But for now, she needs access to the chapters that we're writing in the folder that we've all shared.
Right. It needs to be said.
I just have visions of stuff getting out. Things.
You don't want to see it on the front page of the journal. I get it. It's not for publication yet.
Because not even all the members of the CAG have looked at it yet. And so it's not...
Not because they couldn't.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so I'll share access.
Okay, so I haven't logged on yet.
I wasn't going to name names, Rick, but since you bring it up.
Your point.
See where I was going with this?
Yeah, George.
Okay. Shall I twist it while it's in there? Or
yeah, please do.
So got to get on this, buddy.
You
got
to
get on
this. You use the same address you usually use. Yeah. Is that sure to your email account? Okay.
So, Karn, not to put you on the spot, but...
The first question is, how about if we did a meeting a week from tonight?
Yes.
Would you have any chance to say anything intelligent about this by then?
It depends on when I get the material. If I get the material, what's today? Wednesday night, Friday. Yeah. If I get it by the end of the day on Friday, yes, I could probably have something.
Well, you should be able to access it tomorrow.
Yeah,
I've got other things to do.
All Nathan has to do is share it to your email address, and you have to go there.
The only caveat being you have a Rock Island email address.
Right.
And I'm not sure what access would look like for that.
I think you can still get to it from that.
I think you can at least view it. I don't know if you can change anything, but you can view it.
I figured out.
But if you create a Gmail address, then we could give you full access, but...
I don't think it matters if it's a Rock Island.
I'd be curious to see, because I don't think any. We've got two members that have non-Gmail accounts, and I don't. Dan and Rick, and Dan's been gone, and Rick's been absorbed with the Kaiser thing, so I don't actually know what access will look like.
So Rick, you've not tried to open the document?
No, I haven't. In fact, I'm just going to go after it tomorrow.
Maybe we should try that just to see if it works.
Maybe.
Because that would tell us whether Karen can use her existing email.
Download the documents and email them. So
there you go.
Yeah. So there's workarounds.
Oh, yeah. We can work around it.
But how about, I don't know what your schedule is like tomorrow. I've got an Apalco flight at 7:30, and then I don't think I have anything in the morning. So how about if I give you a call once I get settled in? Maybe I want to, because I need to log on and I need to get to everything. Yeah. I need to now do that. And so I'll try with my non-Gmail account. Then I can try with my Gmail account, because actually I do have a Gmail account. I looked that up to make certain that I still had all the
connections. Well, he has to share it to both. Then.
Right.
Well, I usually screen your phone calls, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Make sure to answer. They go right into the spam.
My wife screens them, so, you know what, you're joining a big club.
Don't wait to be told, Rick.
Okay. Very funny.
So, Nathan, it sounds like you're going to just share the documents in... Word format.
Yeah, the draft folder just can be shared.
And she can let us know what she thinks.
Right.
And if you get it, the documents by Friday, then
you can have something.
Potentially you would have something for next Wednesday if we decide to meet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
That would be one of the reasons to meet next Wednesday then, so that...
Yeah, I think it'd be a very good reason to meet next Wednesday.
Yeah, we should. Okay. I think we should shoot for it.
Okay.
I just, schedule as I said, depending on how it goes, I may be late.
Do we need to do anything more in a formal fashion? I mean, I think everybody is in concurrence to we want Karn's help on this. I mean, is everybody good with that?
I spoke with Chuck this morning. It was the other topic that we discussed, and he's very much in favor as well. So it would only be Dan that I don't know if we've really gotten input. But actually, he did comment.
He did comment.
He did comment.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think
everybody's on board. I think.
Yeah. All of you agreed. Everyone replied. There wasn't a lot of.
That's right. We had an email circulate about this, and I think nobody had an objection, so I think it's all good.
Okay. We didn't really discuss what form that help would take, but everyone agreed that it'd be good to have her help.
Okay, and it's just got to be a working relationship, and
that's it.
That's it.
But you know, that's true of all of us.
And the usual compensation will apply. Same as we all get.
We put it in the mail.
Yes, exactly.
As a matter of fact, you probably already have the check. Or as many as you're going to get. Or something.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
So that's good. And I think that justifies our meeting next week for sure.
So I'll post that as well. It's our meeting Tuesday at 1 and then Wednesday at 6:30.
Yes, and I will work with Chuck to make sure we have agendas. So either Chuck or I will prepare the agenda so you have those.
Okay.
Rick's getting the proper titles for Jason and Katie. So you're just going to give those to Nathan?
I'm just passing along to Nathan. Okay. Yeah, in fact, I'll try to get those before I actually call you, so I'll have those first thing in the morning.
Does anyone know when Dan is coming back?
He's getting back tonight.
He's on the last ferry. He was hoping to be here, but he's too late to make it.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all.
Good, because it's better if all five of you
weigh
in.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that.
Okay. Yeah. And we will all be a part of this.
Okay.
Is there anything else we need to cover tonight? I mean, we're pretty thin.
A couple of thoughts that I've had in the course of the drafting of things, selection and levy related, that kept cropping up. We have made things pretty complicated with the caveat that the fire district must include the outer islands. That idea that if we're going to move EMS over to the fire district, they can't not collect money from the outer islands as they do now under the EMS levy. And I keep looking at that and thinking how difficult the process is for them to do that, actually. And whether we really haven't made it more difficult than it should be, because I mean, when it was under the fire district before, they got the same response that they get now. EMS would go to whichever island somebody paged them to, regardless of whether they were paying in the fire district levy or not. And in the EMS district, we go to islands that aren't in the hospital district, I think, from what I'm told. I don't really know.
They have in the past.
They have in the past.
I know they've gone to Decatur.
And I'm just wondering if, because it would certainly be a whole lot cleaner and easier to just not worry about annexing outer islands into the fire district in order to make this move work or something like that. Because every time I look at that gets really messy. And what I was thinking was our premise was that we didn't want to reduce service. But on the other hand, I don't think it practically is going to get reduced either way. I mean, they're going to get the same service that the fire district does when they get offered an opportunity to go to Decatur or something. They go, regardless of whether they're in the district or not. And I think the same would be true of these outer islands that are currently in the hospital district and paying into the EMS levy, but would not if the fire district just took over EMS and annexed only the town. So I'm wanting to revisit that thought because of the amazingly complicated stuff that creates in the course of this merging it. If there was a better way to do it, whether it's an agreement with the county or somebody else to say we'll do this so that we feel like we've not lost the service to those islands or whatever it might be, I don't know. But I don't know. The more I looked at that piece, the uglier it gets to practically remake Fire District in the territory of the hospital district or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess
if before we go to Warren, Nathan, go ahead. But I just want to make sure, Rick, you were very concerned about the potential perception loss in service to the. You didn't want to see a reduction in EMS service to the county residents on those islands that, in theory, have it now. So,
and I want to make sure you have a chance. I'm still very much that way, but I want to sit back and listen to the discussion and get viewpoints before. I think it's my personal opinion. It's fundamentally wrong to take away in what we're doing, but I'm willing to listen.
Well, it could be if we could find a way to, you know, maybe they don't pay the levy anymore, but if we can guarantee the same level of service, which at this point is pretty minimal. I mean, it was minimal before, it would be minimal still, but they would still get the same level of service possibly, but they wouldn't be paying the levy.
But that's not our viewpoint. Yeah. That may not be their viewpoint.
That's true, too. And one of the things we did say is that we think we need to learn from the Outer Island folks whether that's a big deal.
You would have to in the process regardless because, as George alluded to, the annexation of county territory is daunting. You have to have there's three different processes. And, you know, first, you have to have 15% of the population sign a petition, and then county has to approve it, and then after that,
then there's the election of everybody.
There's the election of everybody in
fire the, district and yeah. the annexed districts.
I mean, it's a daunting process, but at the same time, as you go through that process, you are allowing the Outer Islands to decide for themselves.
Well, but because the fire district would have to choose not only to provide EMS,
they'd have to provide
they'd fire. Have to provide fire too, or they have to create an EMS levy in a completely separate territory from the fire district levy, which I suspect they don't really want to do. And so that's why it gets so messy and complicated, and it just seems like for two calls a year or whatever it is, we really need to go down this road, or can we find a better way to just contract for service or something and say we'll do it, you know, just be done with it and not collect the levy. We're not making that much money, fire district or EMS, or EMS levy. From those guys. I mean, that property is contributing, what, $50,000 a year or something like that to the whole
thing. It's not a large
It's like, really? Is it worth $50,000 a year to go through all of this? Anyway, that was my thought, because as the more we get into the detail of this and write it out and try to say this is what we have to recommend, the uglier it gets. Anyway, that's my thinking.
So, Warren, you had thoughts on it?
Chief Collins and I had this discussion about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I won't talk to him. I'll tell you what I think I heard him say is they have a contract with Washington State to respond to fires on the islands that are Washington State property or federal property.
DNR.
Yeah. So
that's sort of a mutual aid with DNR.
And he told me that he's not going to draw a line between their DNR property and someone's cottage. They're going to go. His view was, instead of contracting, to expand and work that issue, but he didn't think, and check this with him, my interpretation was, he didn't think that should slow anything down. They're still going to get the same service, the prompt fire, and he would like to improve it out there.
Yeah, I think if we could have a conversation with the chief, maybe we can come to an understanding about how to not reduce service. It might even be better because it wouldn't be in the district. It wouldn't be paying.
So that's what I suggested to talk to the chief because he had very definite ideas. We had probably a half-hour conversation just on that.
I don't know what mechanism to use to guarantee that service, so to speak, but it would sure be good.
Well, every once in a while, trust works.
Well, it does, but then
we've learned not to trust so much.
I completely agree, except that trust usually is the person in charge and. I fully agree that we can agree, but the next guy can come in and say, oh, hell, we're not going beyond this island.
Yeah, but it might, he has some definite ideas. He's learning more.
Yeah, if there's a way that we can come up with that doesn't involve annexation, levies, and elections, all the crap that we've been writing about to try to make this work, it would sure simplify everything. Yeah. And I wanted to throw that out because I know it's important to Rick, and I wanted it to be on the table that we should look at alternatives if we can, because it's not that easy to just say we're going to, you know, include those islands in the hospital, in the fire district that are currently in the hospital district.